If there is one Greek whose name has become a household word, if there is one pagan who has achieved something approaching sainthood in the European tradition, that man is Socrates. Socrates himself wrote not a line. We know of him only that he was a strikingly ugly man, trained as a spoon carver, who went about Athens asking questions and provoking discussions, chiefly on ethical problems, that he was followed and admired by a group composed for the most part of upper-class youths, that he might be spoken of as a sophist, but that he differed from the sophists obviously in that he took no regular pupils and received no pay, that he believed in his own mission to question people, chiefly to the end of convincing them that an unexamined life is not worth living, that he sometimes went into a sort of trance while pondering the thought, and that in 399 BC, at the age of 70, he was tried and condemned to death on the charge of disbelieving the gods of the state and persuading others to disbelieve. For this picture, our principal source is Plato, who makes Socrates the central figure in his greatest dialogues. For the ordinary reader, the most memorable thing in Plato is the personality of Socrates. It is the sublimity of Socrates rather than logic that gives wings to the lofty spiritual teachings of the dialogues. All of Plato's earlier pieces contribute to the characterization of Socrates. The most convincing picture of the man emerges from the utterances attributed to him at the close of his life. His defense at his trial, miscalled apology in English, nothing could be less apologetic, and his conversation with his friends.